want to read something to y'all that I came across yesterday. It was forwarded by Marianne Chambers to Patriots and Frog Family. But I liked what it had to say. As we approach the finish line of this portion of our mission, I look back to when I first joined the mission and realize just how much I have learned since then. We've all come such a long way on this journey mission. We learned that just about everything we ever knew and or was taught was a lie. We learned so many truths, yet we know that those truths are just the very tip of the iceberg. We're learning that those we thought we could trust may actually not be who we thought they were. Those that we thought had our backs never did. Yes, we have come so very far and have had our eyes open. We've learned that we always need to do our own research and that we need to be fully reliant on God. We knew if we united, we would become the majority. We are the majority. We learned just how essential our faith would be in the darkest of times. Because if our faith faltered, we would definitely fail. We would stay forever enslaved. We learned we needed to not let fear control us because we learned that is the weapon that the enemy used on us to keep control over us. We learned that those that we treasured the most would let us down because we would not give up our deepest beliefs. Yet we knew it was essential to our very core to hold on tight to what we knew was right. We learned that this war took its toll on us all in so many different and painful ways, but we still stood tall. We know this is all a movie, and this plan was developed and perfected years ago with the main goal of freeing us from our slavery and saving not only our precious children, but all of mankind. Yes, we have learned so very much from that first day that we were tapped to awaken from our forced slumber. We learned that as long as we stay steady, we won't fail. We learned that we needed to get involved in what we can honestly control in whatever level we could handle. And we have started that by becoming digital warriors. Some have progressed to more than digital warriors and gotten more involved on the local and federal levels. Yes, see, they always leave out the spiritual, though. That bothers me. Yes, we have learned so very much and continue to learn. We are strong in our beliefs of our mission. Many have also found themselves on a second journey, a spiritual journey. I know for me that took me by surprise, but I am forever grateful. It showed me that although those that I treasure and love the most may not believe in me any longer for my strong beliefs, but God would always be there and have my back. Yes, this mission and journey has indeed opened my eyes to so many things. As long as we know in our hearts that we are following the right path, then we will make it to the finish line and our new beginning that we have been fighting so very hard for. We know we win because we already did. Today is Christmas on the Julian calendar. That was yesterday. And from what I understand, we will be probably switching to that calendar. Merry Christmas to all. I have a feeling this will indeed be a good day after all because we have already received so many gifts. We have each other. We have our armor of God. We have our freedom and free will intact. We are slaves no more. We are no longer brainwashed sheep. We have won. Love and continued bravery to all. And I'm not sure who that was from. That it says it was forwarded from Marianne Chambers, whoever that is. So anyway, I just wanted to share that because it's been a long journey. And you know, years ago, Jackie gave me a video for Christmas, and it was an old one called Though None Go With Me was the title of it. And that was what it was about. It was about, you know, we have decided we're going to follow Jesus, whether our family does or not. They still want to just do their own thing. They want to go and just enjoy life. Well, I'm telling you, it doesn't mix. Not anymore. You can't do it anymore. You can pretend all you want. But there's going to be a reckoning day. God's watching. He's watching those that said, though none go with me, I'm still going to stand. And I'm still going to do what God's called me to do. And if you don't understand, I'm sorry. But this is the way it is. The world's not the same as it used to be. No more girls just want to have fun. Or boys. We live in serious times. And it isn't over yet. But I want to encourage you, we have won. Because God says we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. As long as we hold to that, it don't matter what anybody says, we win. All right, I want to talk about today, and it kind of goes along with this, being one in the Spirit. All right, the epistles were penned to restore God's order. God has placed authority in the church just as he has in government. I believe that they should be prayed for and not against. Our motives will be right when we do, and we will be moving as one in the Spirit. God's idea is for the body of Christ. It's like the idea that he had for the human body. Moving as one and aiding each part, part working with part, for and not against. When we get this, God's glory will be revealed in us. And I'm talking about the body of Christ moving as our natural body moves to aid one another. When one suffers, the whole body runs to that part of the body to aid it. And that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to be today. That's how God designed it. For us to move in the Spirit, move as one, not fragmented, not all kinds of sects and divisions, but just one body, listening to the Spirit as one corporate body and moving with God. Only then can God's glory show up. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures. First, one in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the end of chapter 11, Paul makes a statement, and the rest will I set in order when I come. All right. Without apostles present, no order present. Seems simple, doesn't it? All right. Chapter 12 here. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now these are the gifts of the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. He uses these gifts to speak to the church assembly. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another divers kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So when we come into an assembly, the Holy Spirit, these are not our gifts. These are his gifts that he gives temporarily to whoever he desires to at any given time. Doesn't matter, maturity, age, male or female. It's when he decides to move on someone to exercise one of these gifts of the Spirit. But as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There isn't the Spirit saying this to this one, and Spirit saying that to that one as far as the body of Christ. I believe the Holy Spirit's saying the same thing. Why would Jesus say when he relayed to John about the churches, let the Spirit hear, or let the churches hear what the Spirit is saying? For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as he hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Just like our body, all the parts function in sync with one another, even though they're doing a different thing. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So much of it is division. Well, we're the church that does this. Well, that's not the way the Lord meant it to be. You're still in the body. You're still a part in the body. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. In other words, because we do this over here, we're the most important. No, that's not the way it is. You're a part. But the body works as one. If we're all following the same spirit, then we all should be in sync, right? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And rather one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What is the most excellent gift? The one that's needed at the time. Is it in a competition? Well, I prophesy. I have the gift of discernment. No, you don't. There's no such gift. There's discerning of spirits, which is seen into the realm of spirits. To me, that's just probably a gossip. I'm discerning something about you, and I'm telling everybody I know about it. Heard that long, many years. The gift of discernment. There ain't no gift of discernment. But the point is, the gifts come upon the person by the Holy Spirit at the time he wants whatever to be said. We don't own these gifts. They're his to bestow where he wants it, when he wants it, at the proper time. All right, chapter 13. It comes up a step higher. How does all this work? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's not about the gifts. It's about love. The body operates in love. Love prefers and defers. Not steps up and says, well, I'm experienced in this, and so, I have seniority here or whatever. It's not the way it is. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're just a big bag of wind, a big noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. See, until you know about love, you don't know nothing. Until you get that part of it, you don't know anything. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give a body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. See, we're moving as one. Not big dog here and big dog there. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Oh, I've seen some unseemly things in church things. We've been through some church splits, and you talk about nasty. Like the world ain't got nothing on you. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, his love walk increased. For we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Because I prophesy long and beautiful that it's not better than love or whatever gift that the Lord uses you in. Chapter 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may be receive edifying. This is about an assembly. This is about unity in the whole body. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? See, it's for the good of the body, the understanding of the whole body. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? You shall speak into the air. I've been in assemblies where people just burst out with speaking in tongues. Sometimes there was interpretations and sometimes there wasn't. See, it's learning to discern when you move forward with something and when you don't. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. In other words, if there's not any understanding of what's coming forth, how can it edify the body? Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. This is the purpose. It's not that, oh, I prophesied today. It's because we're here to edify the body. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. But yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not of them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Thus the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. I tell you no lie. Before we got married, I went to Bethel with him. And there was a lady behind me speaking in tongues, and I swore that day, I'll never come back to this place again. I did. Well, things changed, but still, it scared me. I don't know what she's saying. It was a little out of order, I guess. You know, people don't think about that. They don't think about people coming in that don't know what's going on and how it affects them. But if everybody should, all that junk and stuff, you might run some of them Baptists off. It would nearly run this Baptist off. I never heard anything like that. Until I started reading up about on it and began to learn about what the experience was about. I'm thankful that I did. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done decent, done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For if ye may... For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. You know, it's a good thing. I know when we were going to a certain church, they always wanted them to come up to the microphone, you know, instead of just doing whatever out in the congregation. I mean, if it's the Holy Spirit, isn't worth hearing. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Well, I just couldn't help myself. Well, that isn't true. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. I'm fixing to teach this on television, on the home order, because these women, from what I understand, I've heard Billy Brim talk about it. She talks about the Apocrypha or something like that. No, that's not the right word. Anyway, it was something that the rabbis judged. In other words, it was like a discussion about things that were going on. And so these women are yelling down to their husbands. The women were up top, the guys were down below, and they were hollering to their husbands during the church service. So people run with this and take this. Well, Paul hates women. Women can't ever talk in the church. Then why was they given the Holy Spirit? That your sons and your daughters may prophesy? So you have to qualify that. He wants everything here to be done unto edifying. Paul was dealing with problems. That's what these epistles are about. He's dealing with problems. He's setting things in order. He said, make sure everything is decently and in order. These were women, Gentile women, that were used to probably going in the temple, dressing, you know, talking about not wearing special kind of clothes and pearls in your hair and braids and all this kind of stuff. They had orgies in the temple. This is what they practiced. This is what they ate, probably human meat, sacrificed to idols. There's no telling what all they did. What is he having to do? Come in and teach them. This is the way we do it in the body of Christ. We don't do like the world says. We don't do what you used to do. So don't take things out of context. You have to look at the general thought of what's Paul dealing with here. He's dealing with women that don't have a clue how to act in church. Or men either, as far as that goes. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Like Brother Hagin brings this up. He says, that's the law Moses are talking about there. And the church is not under the law of Moses. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands. They want them to sit quiet and learn. If you don't know what to do, observe. I'm setting down the guidelines. This is the way we do it in the assembly. Learn. It's not to shut up forever and you can't ever talk. That's stupid. Let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God but from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. All right. 1 Timothy 2. Here's the first thing about getting things in order. This is 1 Timothy 2. There's so much bashing of leaders, even Christians. Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So the purpose of praying for them is so that they can come to God. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. No, we're going to go picket. What happened when they showed up with their picket signs on January 6, 2020? It was a trap. They got thrown in jail, and some of them are still there, as far as we know. No bail, no anything. They've been treated as prisoners of war. Well, as Christians, if we would act in the spirit instead of in the flesh, maybe a lot of our troubles we wouldn't have. This is stupidity. God tells us what he wants us to do. And maybe some of these leaders would have been turning around and saying, I need to repent. What I'm doing is wrong. Here's that love flowing from the body of Christ to the world. Isn't that what God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? When they were sinners, he did that before they ever became Christians, obviously. The body of Christ has a lot to learn. They pick it, they have the little gatherings, and they bash the leaders and all of that kind of stuff. God's not happy with that. He's not. If they think they're going to get a reward for it, I have news. He's probably going to rebuke them. You don't know what spirit you're of when the disciples want to call fire down on somebody that wasn't doing it the way they did it. Well, Lord, they're not following after what we're doing. They're going off and they're doing what we're doing, but they're over there doing it. He said, if they're for me, they're not against me. You don't know what spirit you're of. You want to call fire down from heaven on them. All right, let's keep going here. Acts 4. Tell you what, if we don't have love, we do not have anything. Bunch of empty, dead building with dead people in them. Acts 4:32. Now this is after Peter and John had gone, and the man at the gate, he rose up and walked, and they were thrown in jail because of it. Right here. And they were told not to speak in that name, but they said, we can't help but speak what we have heard, what we've seen. All right, This is Acts 4:32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither were there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was like a commune. They all had their individual houses, but this is the way they looked toward each other. We've got to come back to that. We will have to come back to that. You know, we've had to go through some hard things and see some hard things, and I know there's some harder things yet to come. As far as some of the disclosures, going to be hard to take. But you know what? The shock and awe of it is doing whoever hears it a favor. Because we can't go back like we were. We cannot. All right. Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter and Ananias... And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of thy price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing that in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. This is what we need to see in the church. This, when something like is out of sync, it gets judged right there. I mean, and it goes no further. Like I told you, the church that I was on staff at for a while, I was taking the kids to school, and these kids in the back seat were gossiping about some stuff going on in the church. One of the ministers had counsel without his wife present, ended up in an affair. And people started going to the pastor saying, I keep having the spirit of adultery come against me. Never had a problem with that. Well, they found out where it was. What was causing the problem? You know, it's like gangrene. The young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered it unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Right here. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. That's the powerful church right there. All right, go over to chapter 6. You can see why the apostles need to be in the church, can't you? And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So here comes another problem coming up. The 12 had to come together and make a decision. Why? To stop the gossiping, to stop the murmuring, to stop the complaining, stop the griping. Why? Because it spread all through the church. It'll tear up the church. Won't be any power in the church. You see both sides here? Why apostles need to be in their place, taking that stand that they have to stand over church matters? I mean, that's what the epistles are. Paul wrote these epistles to the churches, Gentile churches. So everybody would be doing the same thing. One band, one sound. Flowing in the Spirit. All right. Peter, an apostle, rose up to the occasion with Ananias and Sapphira to restore the unity and the order back to the church. I'm telling you what, I bet you nobody ever lied to the Holy Ghost again. That witnessed what they witnessed. It probably jerked the slack out of them, thinking, we're used to doing our conniving over here on the side. You don't mess with the Holy Ghost. Can't get by with that kind of stuff. People learned you can lie to man, but you cannot lie to the Holy Ghost. It's just like now. A lot of people think they're making bargains and they're going to get away with things, but they are not going to get away from the Holy Ghost. That's who they need to be afraid of. All right. The 12 apostles in Jerusalem came together to take care of the neglect of the widows. To shut the flapping tongues. They were sowing discord. It's important that the unity in the body of Christ remain intact. All right. They had to stay on their toes, but thank God for Paul mainly. The epistles were written for this very purpose. Yeah, to take care of anything that happened in the church that was out of order. Disorder is the devil's playground. All right. It keeps us out of the weeds and on the straight and narrow path. See, we're moving with the Holy Spirit, and Satan sends things to try to get us out of that straight and narrow, out into the weeds. Like trying to bring Christians back under the law. It was happening then, it's happening now. When I come across somebody and I'm listening to them and they start in on that spiel, I turn them off. I'm not listening to that garbage. All right. All right, these two instances were in the Jewish fellowships. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, centered in on the Gentile fellowships. Okay, go to Colossians 2. Verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and from them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. See, he's overseeing order. And ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain conceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, but by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Well, back in Acts, there was a point, I think it's chapter 15, where the thing came up about the Jews were trying to put the Gentile believers back under the law and saying they had to be circumcised. Paul's dealing with this issue and saying, no. And you being dead in your sins and circumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. People are always arguing over this stuff. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So they go in there doing all this research. Oh no, Christmas is of the devil. We can't have sex. You know, if we had a church on Sunday, well, that's another devil. What are we supposed to do? Don't listen to them. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why so living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So we're not into rules and regulations. That was what the law was. No, we're following the Spirit. If the Spirit says, do it, do it. He says, don't pay any attention to that. This is what you do. Then do it. Be free. Don't let it cumber you back under, because that's what the devil wants you to do. Then we start getting all these little divisions everywhere again. All right? The Jewish believers at different points are trying to pull the Gentile believers back under the law. Still happening today. Stay following the Spirit and just do what he says to do. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you need to know, there where you go to get your knowledge. Verse 4, don't be beguiled with enticing words. They may be persuasive, but the Holy Ghost is the one that has the answer. In verse 5, beholding your order. No mixture of following the Spirit and coming back under the law. All right? One of the confessions that we make in this fellowship is that we, the church, would be in divine order so God's government can be established. It won't be established until the order comes. All right? Don't let men and their philosophies, vain deceits, traditions of men that are after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ sway you. You know, if you hear something, go look and see what the Word of God has to say about it. You're complete in him, for he is the head of all regimes and powers. We must become dead to the rudiments of the world to follow the Spirit and walk in divine order. Touch not, taste not, handle not. It's got to go. These are the doctrines of men and not of God. Not only do we have the doctrines of men to control, contend with, but doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. All right, let's go look at Timothy. This is 1 Timothy 4. Paul exhorts Timothy about these very things. Verse verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," like the off-world people. Every time I hear that, there's no such thing as off-world people unless you're talking about angels. Off-world people. Oh, they took them off planet. That's a lie. This isn't Star Trek. This is common language in the Truther movement. Truther movement. Whose truth? Skewed truth. Hogwash. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For to sanctify by the word of God and prayer, if thou put the bread in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou art attained. If you don't get messed up in all these rules of diet, all this, you don't have to get married. You see, this is all these things that have caused our society to decline. But refuse profane no wives' fables and exercise thyself further into godliness. For godly exercise profits little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I mean, Big Pharma has convinced us all, if you don't work out, you don't eat a certain way, you don't do this, you don't do that, don't take our meds, don't take our vitamins, there's not much hope for you. Well, I say, stay away from all of that and you'll live longer and stronger. This is a faithful saint and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God as a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. See, God's putting his word the way to go. Satan is the one that mucks it all up and confuses you, gets you all messed up in your mind. Well, it's because of who you listen to. I can remember in first grade being taught an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Is that true? No. It's not. Jesus says it's not what goes in the man that defiles him. It's your dead gum propaganda. That's the problem. That was the problem. All right, let me see where I stopped with Timothy. All right, four more. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. A lot of people don't, what's that? What do you believe? I don't. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of my hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. They just need somebody to get them on track. I had a phone call from one of my granddaughters this week and just needing help. And, you know, wanting Nana to help, wanting Nana to pray and do all these things. And the Lord led the conversation to her getting into a reading program and start renewing her mind. And she's had two or three wonderful days that she was not having. See, they need to know this is the way God has laid it down to help you stay on the straight and narrow. You can ask somebody to pray, but if you don't get in the Word for yourself and you start letting that grow you up, you'll just flip-flop around your whole life. I know people like that. They don't have time to read, but do you have time to pray for them, though? But that's the way the Holy Spirit led in the conversation after all the hoorah was over. Just, well, you know what? Most Christians never do the very first thing we're told to do, besides being born again and filled with the Spirit, is to renew your mind with the Word of God so you can know His will. If you got a problem, you need to know His will, right? How do you know His will? Renew your mind with His Word. And if you don't have a regimen of some kind, even if it's 15, 20 minutes a day, start where you're at. But stick with it. I said, being lazy is also discipline. Do you realize that? Sitting and watching Grey's Anatomy 4 or 5 hours a night. That's discipline in the wrong way. Yeah. See, that's what people need. They need guidance. Okay. Satan would have you always acting in the flesh. He knows that the only way that you can stop him is in the spirit. So that's why he gets you all caught up with the mockingbird media. All caught up in the entertainment and all of these things to keep you running here and running there and just have a good time, you know. But it keeps you out of the Word of God. It keeps you out of any discipline of any kind of what will save your life. All right. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. You cannot whip the devil with carnal whatever you do. Our weapons are spiritual weapons. God's word is part of those spiritual weapons. Well, it is all of his spiritual weapons. God's word. He wants you to quit chasing your tail and never accomplishing anything for the kingdom of God. So the devil will keep you in the flesh and you keep trying this. Well, I tried this and I tried this and that didn't work. So I'm going to come over here and try this and try this and try this. What are you doing? You're chasing your tail. You ever watch a dog chase his tail? Does he ever catch it? No. Neither will you. If you're going to use carnal ways to try to whip the devil, you just might as well get out of town because you ain't learned nothing yet, because our ways of defeating the devil are not carnal ways. All right, proper order of warfare, the Word of God, even our Lord Jesus Christ, had to use it against the devil. Luke chapter 4. He had to use it against the devil. The Son of God had to use it against the devil. Sinless, immaculate conception. He still had to use the word against the devil. If I hone anything in this morning on that fact alone, if you would just do that, you go a long way. All right, that's the way he trips us up. All right, let's go look at that. I know we all know the story, but do we really know the story? Do we really know the story? Are we walking the story? Are we chasing our tail? All right, Luke 4, 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You reckon he asked, Lord, what's this about? I'm hungry. He was a man, y'all. You know, he was. Flesh and blood. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Get totally out of the flesh, or in the flesh. In the flesh. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem to set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written. Now the devil's using scripture on him. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Are you giving away your power? See, this is the order that the body of Christ is to move into. We are in Him. We are His body. Now we can understand why Satan has gotten so far in making the body of Christ ineffective, powerless. We have not had the apostle and prophet in their proper place. No room has been made for them. Well, I say, move over. Here they come. They are coming to restore order, and God's glory will follow. All right.